start the recording. Yes, hello. My name is Tim Long with Success Learning Systems, and today I will be interviewing Dori Francis, who is an educational consultant from Bend, Oregon. Dori has a skill set and passion for assisting families in a variety of important areas. Some of the areas that she is involved in has to do with assisting parents and professionals in the ethical and professional delivery of adolescent crisis intervention, educational consulting, student assessments, and special education advocacy. You may want to take some notes as you listen to these ideas during this presentation. Dori, what got you started on this pathway of helping others as you do?
Hi, Tim. Thanks for asking that. You know, in retrospect, I believe that, you know, the path that I'm on really started in my own childhood, being adopted, and it's one of the areas I specialize in is with adopted children. I actually started off being a grief counselor at the hospice, and I was assisting young people and their families who had a family member who was dying. And from there, I went on to assisting youth in the juvenile justice system as their advocate. And at that time, I kind of realized that I didn't like seeing kids in the system, and I really felt empowered to find a better way for them to get assistance. And that kind of started me on my journey of where I am today in finding out what other types of assistance are out there for families and their kids.
Well, very interesting. What? How long, Dori, have you been involved as an educational consultant?
I have been an educational consultant for 11 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now you also had made mention that, you know, you were adopted yourself. What are some of the dynamics or differences you find as far as children that are adopted that, you know, kind of brought you on to this in this particular direction or pathway?
Well, especially nowadays, Tim, we have families who are involved with a lot of international adoptions,
mm-hmm.
not just the adoptions of those in the U.S. And depending on what age a child is adopted or what country they might have come from, previous experiences that they may have had if they were involved in the foster care system, one of the aspects, you know, that is well known is called reactive attachment disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel even beyond that, a lot of people tend to focus on the struggles that the child is having. But I'm also focusing on the struggles that the family is having as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not there's other children involved. So it's really looking at the entire picture of, you know, the child's beginning and how that can be incorporated into the family and assisting the family with learning as much as possible, you know, about the adoption process.
Mm-hmm. And could you explain for listeners what you're referring to when you're talking about reactive attachment disorder?
Yes, there's a lot of information out there about reactive attachment disorder, and there are many people who specialize. There are many attachment centers. Basically, when a child is born, a human being is born, the nurturing aspect of them is to bond instantly with the person that is their primary caregiver. And
mm-hmm.
oftentimes in an adoption, that may not happen for even a short period of time of 3 or 4 days where a child may be up for adoption and the adopted parents are not able to get to them right away. And a lot of research has been done that even in that very short period of time, that children will kind of go inward into their own selves during that very short period of time and almost feel a sense of abandonment. And although it's at a very immature and young age as a baby, as they grow up, that becomes something that is instilled with them. And they may have difficulties in those feelings, and they come out in various different ways within a family component.
So even though the child is literally just an infant, they can still experience this type of situation.
Absolutely. And I personally believe that, you know, as a human soul, we have that need for immediate attention. Now, a lot of hospitals in the U.S. have now realized that, and they actually have special type of nursing staff for children that are going to be adopted to create instant bonding, and there's different types of wrapping that they do for the babies and so forth. So as more and more information comes forth, people are understanding that that instant human connection is very important. Unfortunately, over, you know, with the international adoptions, that hasn't seemed to be as important for them. It is a different culture and a different country. And oftentimes these children are not adopted until they're 8, 10 weeks old or even older. And they've spent a lot of that time, you know, just being alone and not having a nurturer.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally believe it does affect how a person comes into the world, and that instinct of their comfort that's missing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So you're definitely seeing some different dynamics between, let's say, the adoption to take place maybe within this country, where, let's say, they had the advantage of that nursing program that you referred to, as compared to somebody as far as internationally is concerned. You've actually seen some differences as far as the child's reaction or whatever to the world is concerned.
I have. You know, a lot of the children today are being adopted from Africa, Paraguay, Romania, Russia. And in those countries, because they're so overwhelmed with the amount of children that are up for adoption, they do the best they can, but they oftentimes use large orphanages. And the children are left sometimes for great amounts of period of time without the closeness and nurturing. So instinctively, as the child is getting older, there's always this question within themselves, as people, you know, love them and are close to them, are they also going to leave me? And I get this information from the children I work with, that this is something that they feel, and yet they're not quite sure how to process that as they're maturing, and why am I having these feelings? I'm in this wonderful, loving family, and yet I'm just not feeling secure.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, that certainly would be a variable or a dynamic that people looking to adopt, for the most part, would never even think about. I mean, I like to think I know more than, you know, a lot of times as far as the average person in certain areas. But, you know, as far as adoption, my goodness, you know, unless you did homework in that particular area and even realized, you think, oh, boy, I'm getting a baby from overseas, and have no idea of that. Well, I mean, certainly it's a subconscious programming with the child. I'm sure you'd probably agree with that.
I do, Tim. It's, you know, it is part of our human nature to want to, you know, feel loved and secure and trust and to bond with those that are close to us. And given anybody's situation where that is removed from you, it obviously is going to change some feelings with you. And like I said, again, as a young child, you're having these feelings, but you're not quite able to adapt as to where these feelings are coming from. And for the parents, you know, it's very frustrating at times, because they've provided a loving home, they love this child, they're providing everything for them, and they're not understanding why the child is kind of pushing them away. So it is a concept of needing to have extra work in those areas when that happens.
So this is an area basically where you kind of help or coach the parents, you know, with this kind of understanding.
I do, and I oftentimes will refer parents, depending on the age of a child, to a particular specialist in this area. A lot of parents will actually want to engage in getting assistance for their children at, you know, between the ages of 2 and 9, when mm-hmm. they actually start seeing some acting out or just a way of a child pulling back. However, oftentimes a parent will call me when a child is now anywhere between 11 and 16, mm. and they've mm. then tried to fill that missing piece, as I call it, in their lives with some unhealthy choices. Uh-huh. And so this is where, you know, sometimes an intervention then that has to take place outside of the home and getting them some specialized treatment is needed.
It's got to be a lot, probably a lot more challenging because as the child gets older, such as that, it would seem, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, that they become a little more hardwired as far as their brains are concerned regarding some of those earlier reactive attachment disorders.
You're right, Tim. I mean, it does become more difficult as they get older. And again, the hormones are kicking in.
Mm-hmm,
other
mm-hmm.
life experiences are happening. They start comparing themselves to their peers. There's a lot of things that are coming up for these young people, and they're not quite sure how to handle what the feelings are. So
mm-hmm.
there's this sense of there's a piece of me that's missing, and they
mm-hmm.
try then to fill that piece oftentimes, like I said, unfortunately, with drugs and alcohol,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. being sexually promiscuous, you know, stealing, just some way that they want to feel good for that instant. You know, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
as we all know, that is just for an instant, and
sure.
they're not really then learning how to develop those feelings and understand what they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I've learned is that for a number of different seminars that I've been to is that what everybody wants is control over, you know, our feeling states or moods in as much of our life as possible. So as you say, in the short term, when they're stealing or acting out or promiscuous or whatever, it's really sounds like a case that they're trying to grab control over those feelings and unfortunately are not asking an even better question, well, how is this action or inaction, whatever it is, going to affect me long term?
Right. How many young adults do you know are asking themselves that question? So,
well, they're not. That's exactly it. Sure. Yeah, they're not. But it's a pretty good question, isn't it?
Absolutely. And they do want to have a happy life. They do want to feel good. And they're just not quite sure how to get there. And this is where
mm-hmm.
sometimes outside assistance can be beneficial for them and beneficial for the family in learning some other ways of dealing with those feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, very interesting. It's you know, you're taking this in a direction that you know, I know a little bit about a few of these things, but never you've really opened my eyes to a number of different things that I wasn't really familiar with at all. And that's a very interesting concept and direction that you took this. Dora, I was going to ask you if you could give our listeners two or three useful tips that they could, you know, basically do now that might help them, you know, today. You know, any suggestions that, you know, you've obviously an expert and you see certain patterns. And I really believe, you know, intelligence is the ability to make better distinctions in our life. Are there certain distinctions or patterns that you've observed that you think could be very helpful as far as a couple tips or ideas that you could leave, you know, with our listeners, whether they be parents or whomever?
Sure, Tim, I'd be happy to. Oftentimes I get asked about risk-taking behaviors, and parents
mm-hmm.
want to know what is healthy risk-taking and what is unhealthy risk-taking. And, you know, I often remind parents that there is a healthy risk-taking, and that is,
sure.
you know, essential to the life of adolescents. You know, it assists them in kind of discovering and shaping their lives. It only becomes negative when the risks become dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And parents absolutely have the right to worry about teen safety and to press restraint regarding alcohol and drugs and sexual promiscuity. However, parents also must do all they can to help their teenagers kind of spread their wings. and not be too overprotective. So
mm-hmm.
finding that fine balance within your home and with your child, and just being aware that they're growing, but you do have to set the boundaries.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And another idea or tip?
I think a second one would be, you know, in working with the kids that I do, a lot of them talk about being pressured by peers, even being pressured by their parents. And in today's world, with the amount of media we have, with the amount of marketers that are
mm-hmm.
throwing things at kids, children
mm-hmm.
are in a hurry to grow up very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
seems like the younger children want to become teenagers and the teenagers want to become adults.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
oftentimes this can lead to them not wanting to finish school because they're just in such a hurry to want to go out into the world and work.
mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, they are taking their cues from the adults in their lives. And one of the biggest things that I've noticed with kids is that they do appear to be easily bored when they're away from their peers
mm-hmm.
or not engaged
mm-hmm.
with technology. So parenting has had to change, and parents need to be a lot more confident about themselves and about the impact that they're having on their children. And oftentimes today, parents say it doesn't feel natural anymore to parent the way that their parents raised them, and that's true. There is a different gap now. So, you know, I would encourage parents to really continue to show respect for your child. You will gain respect for your child, but also try and understand the culture that they're living in, the values that they're shaping, and listen to them when they want to talk to you about their problems, because that's what's going to help bridge that quote-unquote generation gap that we've all experienced in growing up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent. That's very, very useful information. And for our listeners, how could they, you know, if they wanted to avail you of your services, Dory, what is your, could you give me your contact information so they could learn more on how this educational consulting could help them?
Sure, Tim, I'd be happy to. We have two websites. The first one is guidingteens.com, and the second one is troubledteenhelp.com. They can also reach us by calling toll-free at 866-833-6911, and that actually spells 866-TEEN-911, which is easy.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I might have lost you here, Dory.
I'm sorry about this.
Are you still okay? All right, I'm sorry. I just wasn't sure if I wanted to make sure I gave you the time to get the rest of that information on there. So any other contact information? That's primarily it.
That's the best way to reach us.
Okay.
Our Guiding Teens website actually is quite large for parents who are looking for various types of information. We've attached reading material there as well for parents who might want to be doing some pre-researching. And
mm-hmm.
then we also post articles of interest, updated news stories, some recommended reading for parents on certain books, and any press releases that might be coming out regarding new programs. And oftentimes, parents will spend time reading websites, so we wanted to make sure that there was information for them as well, not just about the services that we offer, but about other things that are happening with children and families.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope
okay.
that they find that information useful.
Sure, sure. And again, I'm sorry, that was my fault on the pause there. I thought that I was kind of waiting for a little bit more, and I thought, oh, gee, I hope there's nothing wrong with my system here. Unfortunately, it wasn't. So, Dory, what I'm going to do here, I'm just going to kind of conclude, but if you could just stay on the line here momentarily, okay, I'm going to conclude with with this line right here, and then just stay with me because I will, you know, I'll stop the recording and just talk to you just for a second afterwards.
Okay.
Here, okay?
Thank you,
but this has been great. I really believe you've shared some wonderful information here that will be very helpful. I look forward to speaking with you again in the near future.
Be my pleasure.